Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Listen again for God's word to us this day. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All of the nations will gather before him, and he will separate people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "You are accursed. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it? When was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Christ the King Sunday. That's what it says on the front of your bulletin. What does that mean? Is it just some obligatory participation in the church calendar that tells us that this particular Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year? Is it perhaps some polite recognition that we are, in fact, one small part of a global community who together declare Christ is Lord? Does anyone even really know what Christ the King Sunday means? I mean, wouldn't it be more appropriate this Sunday, certainly more seasonally appropriate, to call this Thanksgiving Sunday? Or maybe even this year, Christ the King of Royal Christmas Deals Sunday, the newest manic shopping spree festival. And are there decorations for this Sunday? Nope. But there is scripture, really powerful scripture, that challenges the very core of what we actually mean when we declare that Jesus Christ, the one whom we call the Son of God and God with us, is our King. To make this claim is to declare that there are no other rulers in our lives besides Jesus, especially not the red carpet royalty, the false gods of celebrity and political affiliation and technology and consumerism and excess and fear and violence, which have such high thrones in our society. Jesus presents the image of a very different King on his throne, inviting those on his right into a kingdom that's already been prepared for them since the foundation of the world, and then sending those on his left off to a place prepared not for them, a place prepared for the devil and his angels. This image illustrates a division in our broken world between those who have already been living with the King, and yet unaware, and those who have not been living with the King, equally oblivious. This Sunday, we join the flock with the pronouncement that Christ is our true King. But wait, when did we see him? In this text from Matthew's Gospel, we find Jesus wrapping up a lengthy address to his followers on God's kingdom and life as a disciple. This is a king's speech, bold, decisive, unwavering, a royal edict, a final judgment. Do you remember that climactic scene in the movie A King's Speech? When King George VI, known for his speech impediment, addressed his people following Great Britain's declaration of war on Germany in 1939. With great focus and force, he spoke, "In this grave hour, perhaps the most fateful in our history, I send to every household of my peoples, both at home and overseas, this message, spoken with the same depth of feeling for each one of you, as if I were able to cross your threshold and speak to you myself." In his royal discourse, Christ the King is reaching across the threshold of time and space to deliver this epic message to us, his children, his flock, on this important day. With the same depth of feeling for each one of us as if we were gathered with him on the Mount of Olives, 2 days before his arrest and execution. He's been beckoning us to follow him, to receive the kingdom of God that is all around us, to join him as a disciple. And at this moment, the King is on the throne, and while God has already taken action to save us, the invitation to enjoy this gift in this life is set before us. I'll be honest, this text certainly worked me over this week. I mean, sheep in, goats out, the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I mean, that's harsh. I think goats are pretty interesting, honestly, and this scripture had me searching for ways to help him out, and I'll admit, I love a good roasted goat as much as the next guy. Apparently, unless the next guy is devil, the devil and his angels. So I have some questions. What's wrong with being a goat? And are we sheep or are we goats? Are we on the right or on the left? And if I am a goat, how do I get over to be with the sheep come judgment time? What can I do? Can I still increase my pledge? Yes. Yes, I can. Is there a mission project I can join? Absolutely. Maybe even you picked up some $1 bills for the offering plate this week. But I think it might be helpful to back up and get some context on Jesus' farmyard name calling. For us city dwellers, the distinction between sheep and goats is easily lost in translation, though goats are making a comeback in the city. I'm actually told that maybe some of you have some experience with the weed-eating rent-a-goat phenomenon. Is that true? Yeah, nodding heads. Goats are no longer just a rural sight. Back in September, the Presbyterian Campus Ministry at Emory, we had our first meeting of the fall semester, and one of the student leaders posted some flyers around campus announcing our first meeting. Yet we were grossly outflyered by a group inviting students to the Emory Goat Herding Club. Their flyer said, "No experience, no problem." And I posted a picture of the flyer on Facebook, and Dana Hughes was one of the first to comment, asking if you had to be a student to join. And the whole thing was actually a hoax. But there was so much interest in joining the Emory Goat Herding Club that they actually had to start a group. And I've wondered, actually, if the Emory Goat Herding Club and the Presbyterian Campus Ministry are really all of that different. I mean, come to think of it, from what we see of the disciples in the Bible, it makes perfect sense that Jesus would compare teaching them to herding livestock. When I lived in Kenya and then just recently traveling around Ethiopia, I saw many flocks of sheep and goats together, all shepherded by probably 6 to 10-year-old boys with pockets full of pebbles and a long, sturdy stick in their hand. And while I can tell the physical difference between sheep and goats, I had to do some research this week to try and understand the distinction that Jesus might be drawing. And here's what I found out. Sheep like to graze on clovers and grass, and they need a shepherd to lead them to the good grazing land, the rich pasture that we heard Nancy tell us about in Ezekiel. Goats, on the other hand, actually the left hand, they are browsers. They'll eat leaves, vines, weeds, garbage. They also have a different flock behavior. Goats are more independent, curious, wanderers. Sheep, they stick together. Another big difference is that while wild goats are found in abundance, even hanging out on the side of a cliff, sheep are entirely domesticated. They need the flock and the shepherd to survive. There's something about the nature of people that makes Jesus think about the flocks that are likely wandering nearby. The sheep with their heads down, grazing on the grass, vulnerable, to say the least, but living in the trust of the protection of the shepherd and the presence of the other sheep, and that comfort that comes with such trust and such community. The goats, on the other hand, are constantly bouncing off, looking for something far off, the shepherd having to bring them back time and time again as they wander off. What Jesus offers is the invitation to trust the protection of God's grace freely given and to live peaceably in a community of our brothers and sisters in this flock called church. It's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that we have to build or even invest in. It's something that we inherit All we have to do is receive this amazing gift and enjoy it, glorifying God and making our whole lives a joyful response to this amazing grace. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Life is hard. It's often very painful and certainly not fair. It's not easy to always see these alleged pleasant green pastures that are supposedly all around us. So I have this question at this moment, right now, at this moment. Do you find yourself identifying with a goat or with a sheep? Honestly, I spent a lot of this week feeling more like a goat than a trusting sheep. I was talking to a friend about this, and he said he doesn't really look at people this way, either all sheep or all goat. He thinks that maybe we're all a little bit of sheep and a little bit of goat. At times, maybe more one than the other. And I like that. I think I agree with him. And he's a therapist, so he's probably onto something. It helped me in my goat wanderings and brought a little bit of my sheep into the pasture this week, trusting that God is part of all of this, even when I feel lost or like a cast-off goat. As God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. That's a great comfort. Even if our goat selves wander off into darkness and life feels like eternal punishment, when we feel far from God, or like we don't need God or anybody, then we find ourselves suddenly clinging on to the edge of a cliff. Or when we feel like maybe even God has cast us off. Or we feel cut off from the flock, alone, suffering. The promise of the shepherd in those days of clouds is to search for the lost and to bring them into the good pasture, to lie them down with the rest of the flock, to rest, to heal, and to graze. This is comforting and helpful. Unfortunately, it's not where Jesus leaves us. Jesus leaves us gathered together at the foot of his throne with a final judgment and eternal fire. Ezekiel 2 says, "I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep." And he's not talking about body image. "Because you butted the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide." And Jesus makes the judgment clear. Those who find themselves in the presence of the Lord are those who were with him all along, as they fed the hungry and gave drink to the thirsty and welcomed the stranger and clothed the naked and took care of the sick and visited prisoners. And they didn't do these things so that they could get the attention of the king and reap the reward. The presence of the king mattered not to them. They were just being sheep. "When do we even see you?" they ask, probably with a mouth full of sweet grass while handing a warm meal to a malnourished prodigal goat. If you are part of ministries like these, clearly named and lifted up by Jesus the King himself, then hear these words of King Jesus reaching across the threshold of time and culture to say to you himself, "As you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Continue to enjoy your place in this flock, the kingdom prepared for you, the foundation of the world. And if your goat senses are tingling right now, and part of you is asking Jesus, "Well, wait, when did we see you and do these things for you?" Well, the response is implicitly, you didn't. That's the problem. It's easy in this nation, with our privilege, to be part of the ones who have butted the weak animals out. Sometimes in our somewhat willful ignorance. If we'd have known the king was coming, well, if we'd have known Jesus was there among the hungry, the stranger, the immigrant, the refugee, the homeless, the bullied, the lonely, if we'd have known you were with the sick and the imprisoned, well, we'd have made some different choices. Granted, it is what he's been saying all along. He's been doing this all along. I'm not sure how this really caught everyone by surprise. But at any rate, the good news, fellow sheep and goats, is that the king has spoken to us today in these texts and has declared that Jesus Christ is the king shepherd, and he will save us and gather us into his presence. And if you care to join him, guess where you can find him? Come, Lord Jesus. Come into our beautiful church, this comfortable place. Come, Lord Jesus, into our safe places. Jesus is, you come. You, that's the idea, you come. Guess where you can find him? There were 2.5 million homeless children in our land of opportunity last year. That means 1 in 30 children were homeless in America. In Georgia, there were 73,953 homeless children, and half of them were under 6 years old. There are 16,000 refugees living in our city. Our youth worshiped with some of them at Shalom last week. The UN estimates that there are 15 million people waiting for refuge around the world. But when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? 755,400 people in Metro Atlanta turn to food pantries to feed their families every year. And 164,000 of them are children. Yesterday, the Emory Presbyterian Campus Ministry served guests at the ICM food pantry, including a father and his 5 children. And all God's people say, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Nearly 2 million Georgians are uninsured. When did we see you sick and take care of you? Almost 100,000 Georgians are in prison. When did we see you in prison and visit you? Well, there are shepherds in our church, this is the good news, who hope that you will make pledges of yourself to support our congregation's work with the hungry and the homeless and the refugees, and even more so to show up and make some authentic relationships with our brothers and sisters who are parts of these communities, part of Jesus' flock. This is Christ the King Sunday, and Jesus Christ is on his throne, beckoning us to open our eyes to him in all of the places that he dwells, in all of the faces that he knows, and to come into, inherit the kingdom which is already here, prepared for you, the foundation of the world. Friends, next Sunday, we enter the season of Advent, where we wait expectantly and look for Christ to come, Emmanuel. Where will you be looking? Amen.